Welcome to the Heartbreak to Happiness Show with Sara Davison. If you're struggling with a breakup and you feel shocked, angry, betrayed, devastated, or sad and alone, then this podcast is for you. Best-selling author and award-winning host Sara Davison shares how you too can get on with your life to heal, grow, and move from heartbreak to happiness. Here's your host, Sara Davison.
Welcome back to the show. And today I'm going to be diving into how to cope with the summer holidays. Now, if you are a single parent and you have kids, the likelihood is that they will be spending some time away from you in the summer with your ex. Also, you will be maybe planning on taking your kids away or spending some time with them during the summer. Now, all this I know can be super daunting. My husband left me when my son was only 1 year old. So from a very young age, I was traveling with him alone. And at first I was super, super nervous, okay? Really scared, because traveling on your own with a baby is a massive responsibility. Not only do you have all the baby paraphernalia like buggies or nappies and sterilizers and bottles and all those things maybe, and toys, there's a lot of things to take for a baby, right? But also it's the pressure of being on your own, maybe in a foreign country, or maybe just somewhere where you don't know. You don't know the routine. You don't have your support team around you. So I thought, first of all, what we would do is deep dive into how to travel with your kids as a single parent first. Because over the last 13 years, I've learned that there's some really helpful things that if you do them, it will make it so much easier for you. So I really want to share those with you. Okay, so first of all, try not to be too ambitious the first time you go away. Okay, maybe choose somewhere that you've been before, somewhere that you feel comfortable getting to. You know, if you're not comfortable traveling on a plane or going to a new country on your own anyway, then maybe avoid it for the first time. See this first time as maybe a practice run to see how it goes, how you navigate it, how you cope, because there will be lessons to be learned with every trip you take away with your kids. I promise you that. So keeping it manageable for you is absolutely the key. Okay. So maybe you go back to somewhere where you used to go as a child or somewhere your parents used to take you. Just think about somewhere that you would feel comfortable to start with. Okay. Also important to make sure that there's stuff for the kids to do. I know it sounds obvious, but sometimes when we're booking, we think, oh, that looks nice. But actually, if there's not much to do for the kids, that puts a lot more pressure on you. Okay, so find somewhere with activities for the kids to do. So whether that's a beach, whether that's a swimming pool, maybe there's a forest or a wood, or there's bike tracks, maybe there's a play center close by, whatever it is that your kids will enjoy doing, make sure that you've got that around you, because that will take a lot of pressure off if you can keep the kids easily occupied. And of course, maybe you could ask someone to come along with you. You know, I traveled on my own the first time and it was a bit daunting because at that point in time, I didn't have any other friends that were single parents. So it wasn't easy to do. But maybe you could ask your parents, or maybe you do have a friend that could come along with you in a similar situation, or a friend that's married who's happy for you to tag along. So have a think, okay? This really is important to plan. Planning is the key when it comes to traveling with your kids. Now, the second thing I want to talk about after planning is setting the rules. Because however old your kids are, I think it's important to establish some ground rules. Obviously babies, well, that's going to be tough to do, right? But if your kids are old enough to sort of have a conversation with you or listen to what you're saying, then it's really important that you set some really gentle, simple ground rules. But I used to say to my son from the age of sort of 2-3 years old upwards, look, you know, mummy's traveling on her own with you. If this goes really well, we can do it again. So there's an incentive in there, right? It's an incentive. But in order for this to go well, because we're going to be abroad, what I'd love is if you listen to me when I ask you to do something and do it the first time. Okay, that would be great. And also stay close to me. Okay, don't go out of sight. So if you're on the beach or by the pool, don't wander off. Make sure you can see me at all times. So those were things that I would set down, really simple, But I think it's important so that your child understands this is something different and you require something different from them. So then everyone's clear, we're on the same page, okay? And again, there's the incentive that if this goes really well, then look, we can do it again. But, you know, it's a big step and, you know, I want to enjoy it and have fun with you and do it together. Okay, packing. Packing is massive here, okay? Packing requires a lot of thought here, especially with the younger ones. So obviously you may be used to packing for your kids anywhere if they're going to sleepovers or things like that. But this is where we really need to make sure they've got things they're going to want to engage with, okay, when they're on holiday. So I know my son used to like taking the sort of trucks that he could play with on the beach, you know, dig holes with, buckets and spades, diggers, cars. You know, I mean, if you've got girls, it might be different, guys, but, you know, whatever it is for your kids, make sure that you save some space and some weight allowance in the suitcase if you're traveling by plane for some of those things, because they make a massive difference if they've got a toy to play with. Also, if you are going on a journey, so whether that's a car journey, a plane journey, make sure that you have activities for the kids to do in the plane or in the car, something to keep them entertained. Kids have a funny way of being starving hungry when you have nothing to give them. So just planning ahead for that, bearing in mind that the kids may not like aeroplane food, if it's anything like my son. They may not even like airport food. They might be particularly fussy, you know, and if you're going to a different country, remember that sometimes the food is quite different. So again, if you want to take some extras with you so that if you need to, you could cook them something else, even if it's sort of crisps that they like or something, so they have that while they're away. If that's going to make your life easier, let's do it. That's what I say. I've been on many, many trips with my son, and now it's sort of come second nature. But I wish someone had sat me down and said, Sara, these are the things that are super important. Because if you can plan for all these things, I promise you, it's going to make it so much more enjoyable for you and for your kids so that you can relax and really create some of those magic moments, which is really why we do it, right? That's why we travel. That's why we want to go on holiday. We want time out. You probably need to relax and get away from life as well, just as much as it's fun to go with your kid for them to have a time out of usual daily routine as well. But if we forget some of these things or we haven't planned, sometimes it can be quite stressful. So these are the things I've learned. Another thing that has always worked well is just to get onto kids' time. Don't worry too much about routine and what they do at home, bedtimes, screen times, those kind of things. I think if you're going to go away with your kids at any age, it's just about getting onto their time zone, okay? Get into the kids' time zone and just go with them. So what I mean by that is if they get up early, get up early. If they go to bed early, go to bed early. You know, don't try and fight things. Don't try and change things. Go with the flow. I'm a big believer that holidays have to be just as much fun for you, if not more so, than it should be for the kids. So we want to build in time for you to relax. Now, I remember going to a buffet dinner with my son. And I was, you know, we traveled, it was exhausting. I'd got there and I was really looking forward to the buffet. Now, my son loves a buffet. All the choice, having his own plate, running around, picking different foods. He absolutely loves that. So I thought, great, he's going to be happy in the buffet. There'll be something that I enjoy, I'm sure, and I can have a glass of wine and relax. Aha. But I hadn't figured that my son would grab his plate, run around, fill us up, sit down at the table, just as I was sitting down with my starter, sitting down, and he would eat everything on his plate before my glass of wine even arrived at the table. So just as the waiter was going, here you go, madam, here's your glass of wine. My son was like, I'm done now. Can we go? Can we go? And I was like, ah, yeah. You see, I've only just had my starter. I know you have just put everything on one plate, but mommy wants to relax and just drink my glass of wine. Now, at the time, it was much frowned upon that children would have iPads or phones at the table. So obviously I'd been sort of mindful of this and thought, right, okay, well, we'll just sit there and we'll have a conversation. But with any of you trying to have dinner with a five-year-old, trying to have a conversation in a busy restaurant, it really isn't going to be the most relaxing experience. So I quickly learned that if I'm a single mom and I'm away on my own, then it's okay for my son to have his iPad. Now he's a lot older, have his phone, of course, and can sit there at the table and he can do what he wants because I need to relax. I want to finish my glass of wine in my own time. But if I'm sitting there saying, no, you must sit there and let's have a conversation, that's not going to be relaxing for my son or for me. So work around what works for you. Okay, don't get hung up on the rules, what you should or shouldn't do. You know, you're the parent, it's your holiday too. So let's find a way that works for you and for your kids. Okay, so please don't beat yourselves up or worry about what other people think. There was another example. I was at dinner with my son and I'd gone down and he had his iPad, he had his toys, I had cards in my bag, super prepared. I was like, okay, this time I'm gonna nail it. Sat down and my son spotted somebody that he'd seen in the pool that afternoon and he was up out of his seat and gone. You know, he didn't come back. He was, I mean, I could see him. He was playing with this kid and they were running around and there was a play area in the restaurant they were sitting in and that was fine. But then I was very self-conscious. I felt like everybody was looking at me. There I was on my own in a restaurant in a foreign country. This was in Barbados with my son. But no, he was nowhere to be seen. And I became really uncomfortable with the fact that I was sat there eating my meal. Now, I didn't have any distractions for myself. And this is all so common, right? It's all so common. We think about preparing for our kids and you know, we don't really think about us. So I learned from that experience always to take a book with me to dinner, because even if I didn't have it on the table, just in my bag under the table, if for any reason he did get distracted or meet somebody and go off, then I wouldn't feel so self-conscious if I was sat there with my book or my iPhone, whatever it was, just so that I had some distraction as well, so that I could relax and pass the time. So again, it's not just about planning for the kids to be entertained. It's also sometimes planning for you to be entertained. That actually reminds me of another story, which was I was flying, well, I was married actually, but I was flying to Australia with my son. And it was one of those experiences which I will never forget because I think it scarred me for life. So he was only, well, he must have been about 6 or 7 months. And we were sitting, because it was a business trip, we were sitting in business. I was lucky enough to be sitting at the front of the plane and I had some leg room and they had a little sort of bassinet as well for the baby to be in just in front of me. So I had bought, and I don't know if any of you mums out there were like this with your first baby, but I had about 15 changes of outfit for him. I had 15 baby grows, I had loads of wipes, I had everything, I had change of clothes, I had everything he could possibly need, much, much more than needed for one plane flight. Because I thought, well, if I need to change his nappy or there's an accident, I can just clean him up and we've got loads of clothes. Nailed it. I can do this. So I was feeling really proud of myself with my massive baby bag, stuffed full of different outfits for him. And as we were flying along, we must have only been up in the air for about an hour and a half. And this is going to Sydney. So we had a stopover in Singapore. So this was a long old trip, okay, from the UK. We're talking sort of probably 20 hours, if not a bit more, with the layover in the middle. So I picked him up at one point and I'd given him some milk. And then I was just burping him on me. So I had him up on me. And then the next thing I know, he was sick. He wasn't sick on himself. He was sick all over me. It was all over my top, all down my top. It was inside my bra. It was everywhere. I've never seen so much vomit in my life. Now, I had so many changes of clothes for him, but did I have any changes of clothes for me? No, not one. So I was completely stuffed. So I smelt of sick for the whole flight. Luckily, the lady at Singapore Airlines felt sorry for me and found me an old tracksuit that they had. It used to be part of their sort of uniform or something, I think. And she gave it to me and said, well, you can use this. But it was a high-waisted navy and bright yellow T-shirt with a very tight-fitting, shiny sort of top to it, which zipped up the middle. Now, I was grateful because it didn't smell of sick. So, hey, I was like, okay, great. Thank you so much. When I got off the plane at the other end, my husband was meeting me there. He looked at me and was like, what are you wearing? And I was like, oh, it's a long story. But again, what do you learn? Remember at the beginning, I said there's lots of lessons you learn from every trip with your kids. That's definitely the major lesson I learned from that trip. always pack a change of clothes for you too, because you never know what's going to happen. So just a tip there for those of you who are traveling with little kids. Okay, so moving on to being on holiday, I think it's really important that you smile and you make it as fun as you can. So sometimes it can feel awkward and you can feel like everybody's staring at you around the pool if it's just you and your kids. Okay, I know that I felt very self-conscious on that trip to Barbados because it was one of the first trips that I'd taken with my son. But it was a really interesting experience because I had a scenario that happened that really changed my opinion of traveling on my own. Now, I was lying on a sunbed right next to the baby pool. So my son was in there sort of paddling around. He had some floats and I'd been in there with him, but I was just sort of sitting on the edge of my sunbed looking at him while he was sort of sitting on the edge with his cars and trucks and things. And suddenly this lady who I'd seen before came over to me and she sort of strutted over to me as if she was cross. That's the impression that I got from her body language. And she sort of marched over to my sunbed and I thought she's actually coming to speak to me because there's no one down that end of the pool. And she said, excuse me. And I was like, yeah, hi. And she said, are you here on your own, just you and your son? And I said, yeah, thinking, oh my goodness, what is this about? And then she completely softened and she said, oh my goodness, that sounds like heaven. I'm here with my husband, who's a nightmare, and my three kids who haven't stopped arguing. One's been ill and the other two are at each other all the time. She said, I'm picking up stuff. I'm just stressed all the time. And I'm looking over at you from my sunbed thinking, that just looks like heaven. I'm just so jealous. This is just, oh my goodness. And then before she could even finish that sentence, I heard her, oi, what are you doing? And she looked at me, she rolled her eyes and she said, see what I mean? And she turned around and that had been her husband screaming out after her, wondering why she was talking to a random stranger. And off she went. But it really made me think, because I had been sitting there thinking, everyone's looking at me. Maybe they're feeling sorry for me. Maybe, you know, they're thinking, oh gosh, what's she doing here on her own? Pity. I don't know. It wasn't positive, the thoughts I was having. I know that much. In those early days, I think I was finding it all very difficult to adjust to, even though I was out there giving it a go.
Are you struggling to cope with your breakup or divorce? Are you feeling devastated, heartbroken, sad, and anxious? If so, please know that you are not alone and there is help available. Sara Davison, best known as the Divorce Coach, and her team of accredited coaches are here to offer you the support and guidance you need to navigate all areas of your breakup, take back your control, and start feeling happy again. Sara will show you how to dial down those controlling negative emotions, unhook from your ex, get back in the driving seat of your life and design a future you are excited to live. Sara has a range of solutions to support any breakup, including free guides, one-to-one coaching, her Heartbreak to Happiness virtual retreats, live retreats, and you can even train to be a breakup and divorce coach with Sara too. Visit www.saradavison.com today and start to feel happy again.
But interestingly, from that conversation, I realized that I was actually in a really fortunate position. You know, I've always gotten super well with my son. So wherever we go and whatever time we spend together is always fun. But just being able to go away and have quality time with him without a husband or a wife or anyone else sort of adding their sort of, you know, their advice or their tips or telling you or commenting on what you're doing, how you're doing it, when you're doing it, how long you're doing it for. Yeah, I didn't have any of that. And yes, there was the side where, well, I'm on my own and it's a little bit daunting, but actually it was more empowering. It was more liberating. And that's what I'd love you to experience. And when we live in fear and don't do things because we're scared, because we know it's going to be difficult and we don't think we can get through it, or we worry about worst case scenario, then we never step out of our comfort zone and you never get to feel those highs. You never get to experience those real magic moments. So what I would say is plan be safe. You know, if you do worry about being in an isolated area, go somewhere where there's lots of people around. You know, go somewhere where you know there's a good hospital nearby, maybe. Whatever will allay your fears, make sure you put that into the planning, which is where I started with this podcast. Plan, 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 down to the packing list, down to what you're taking on the plane. Make sure you're going somewhere where you've really thought it through, where there's lots to do for the appropriate age groups of your kids as well. And make sure you feel safe. That is going to be super, super, super important so that you can just relax and have some fun. Having fun, the most important part with you and your kids, okay? So now I want to focus on just a little bit on what to do when your kids are away with your ex. I hear this all the time. In fact, this week I've had a couple of sessions with clients who are saying, I'm really nervous. My ex is taking the kids away and I don't know how I'm going to cope. It just feels just really uncomfortable. You know, one of them, she can't afford to go away. She can't afford to go abroad. There's a lot of people right now that are struggling with the cost of living. So, you know, she's not alone by a long shot. But her ex is going away. They're having an amazing trip. He's taking a new girlfriend with him. All that is just a lot for her to take. And my other client, her ex is going away. She's also taking the kids away, but she's just really worried about what she's going to do in those 2 weeks on her own. And how she's going to stop herself thinking about the kids all the time. Now, please know that if any of this is resonating with you, it's perfectly normal. It is normal to feel that way. And I think most of us go through that at some point. But I do promise you that it gets easier with time. You do learn to balance that. But there's definitely things you can do to make that so much easier for you, but also speed up that process of getting through the tough times and enjoying that time that you actually have for yourself. Now, one of my clients was saying to me, yeah, but I've got so much I have to do. So it's not going to be fun. Like, they're going to go away and have a great time with their dad. But I've got so many chores to do, so many jobs that I've put off, so many things that I need to get through, that really, how can I have fun with that? Now, this is where I think we have to really focus on getting some balance. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, I want you to work out what you have to do. And what are the things you have to do? Maybe some of you have to go to work. Maybe some of you have chores that you want to do. Chores, jobs around the house, things you've been putting off. Great. Let's add those to the list. Let's get down all those things that you really want to get ticked off that list, but you've been putting off. But now the kids are gone, you're going to have some time. You can get through that list. So write down the things that you have to do. And then on another piece of paper, write down all the things that you want to do in that time. Now, obviously, if you can't go away because you haven't got time, make these realistic things. But maybe it's chatting to some friends, FaceTiming some friends, visiting a friend you haven't seen for a while. Maybe you could, in a weekend, just take a trip, you know, not far away and back in a couple of days. Have a think about the things you could do. Have a think about the things that maybe you would really love to do, but haven't got around to doing yet. Maybe it's a course of some kind. Maybe it's a retreat or a massage. Maybe, I don't know, it could be learning a new skill. Maybe it could be spending more time with your parents or a friend or a family member. Let's get a list of the things you would really like to do in that time as well. And then we just plan it in. Plan in the things that give you that buzz that you really want to do. So you've got something to look forward to in that time. And also plan in the things that you have to do. Because the beauty of this is you're going to get the feel good factor from ticking off the list of all those jobs and chores that you've put off for so long. Now you're finally, there's nothing more satisfying, is there? Just ticking a list, tick, 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 crossing it off your list. Perfect. Okay. So you'll be ticking those off, but then also you'll have things to look forward to. The trick not to focus on your kids is to shift your focus onto you and have things to look forward to and keep yourself busy. Okay. Maybe you want to go and have a coaching session with one of my coaches. Maybe you want to join one of our online support groups. You know, they're online support communities where people come together from all over the world just for an hour with an accredited coach of mine, giving advice, but also hearing other stories. You're not alone. There are lots of people out there who've gone through tough times and are going through them and are experiencing similar things. So actually, the beauty of those groups is the camaraderie and the friendships and the bonds that are formed, because you realize you're not alone. You realize that there are other people in the same situation all over the world. And it's really quite empowering. So maybe something like that. It's only an hour of your time. You can do it in your pajamas. You can do it from home. But have a think about the things you have to do and the things you want to do. And let's combine them so that you actually feel like you're achieving something, as well as something to get your sparkle back and move you forward. Okay, that's really, really important. What about going on a date? Maybe you need to sign up on a dating app just to get ready for the summer, so that you've got a couple of dates you could sprinkle into those weeks when you are on your own. I'm not saying it's to find Mr. or Miss Right. It might just be to find Mr. or Miss Right now, or a friend to be a wingman or woman when you go out, or just someone to connect with and have a chat with, go for a walk with, a coffee, go to the theatre, whatever it is for you. But again, it comes down to planning. It comes down to not waiting till the kids have gone and shutting the door. There's nothing worse than that tsunami of negative emotions when you realize you've got 2 weeks ahead and nothing planned, but you're on your own. So let's take your power back. Let's start planning. For those of you that do have time to go and do something, check out the solo travelers, the solo holidays. Yeah, you can do walking holidays, hiking, cooking, yoga, chill out, drinking, you name it. There's all sorts of different retreats or trips, from anything from 1 or 2 days to 2 to 3 weeks. It really depends what works for you. But there are so many other people out there in the same boat. I know, I talk to a lot of them all the time, every day, every week. And I know that these holidays can be really empowering and uplifting. There was one I went to in St. Lucia called the Body Holiday. And again, gosh, this must have been just after my divorce. It must have been a good 8, 9, 10 years ago, maybe now. And I was nervous for sure going on an adult holiday on my own. At St. Lucia, I don't think they have kids under 16 at these resorts. But they're absolutely fabulous, because the Body Holiday has something for everyone. It's designed for the solo traveler, although there are some couples there, but it's definitely not a honeymoon destination like some of these places. Top tip, obvious, of course, but don't go to a honeymoon destination if you're just reeling from your breakup. It's not great. It doesn't make you feel good and it can hurt. So let's just not do that. Let's go somewhere like St. Lucia or somewhere in the UK or close to where you live where there's activities. So you could do anything from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. There was boxing, cycling, swimming, yoga, stretch. I mean, you name it. There was water polo. There was all sorts of things. Very laid back, very relaxed. Or you could lie on the beach, or you could drink all day, or you could go and have smoothies in the health cafe. So many different things to do. But actually, from that holiday, I made some really great friends, and some of them are some of my best friends still today. So if you do go on one of those holidays, I can tell you that you never go away on your own ever again, because you've met a group of people there who are comfortable traveling on their own now. And so if you want to go away, I'm sure one of them at some point will be free to go with you. So again, you've got traveling buddies there, so you never need to be alone again. It is really empowering too, to say, right, I actually did that. I stepped up and I did something on my own. So whether that's something for a day or two local to you, or maybe you just take yourself away for a quiet weekend away or a Friday night away on your own. There are lots and lots and lots of things you can do, but think about what works for you. Make it as comfortable as possible so it isn't too daunting for you. But take your power back. This is how you start to create that momentum. You do have to step outside of your comfort zone to make any changes that are going to give you momentum to move forward. If you carry on doing what you've always done, you're going to stay where you are. Okay. What we want to do is change things up. If you don't like it, you can always go back to how it was before. But I promise you, you'll learn something from every experience that will move you forward. So I hope you found this useful. I really do. I think summer holidays are a time for everyone to have some fun, relax and let their hair down. No matter what you're going through, there is a way. So be strong, take your power back, and go out there and make it the best summer ever. Mwah.
thank you for listening to today's episode and allowing me to help guide you from your heartbreak to your greatest happiness. I look forward to you joining me on our next episode.
That's it for today's episode of Heartbreak to Happiness. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to win a free ticket to one of Sara's virtual retreats. The retreats are a transformative combination of live webinars with Sara herself, coupled with empowering online video programs designed to help you cope better with your breakup and start feeling happy again. For more details, head on over to heartbreaktohappinesspodcast.com, where you can also get a copy of Sara's free gift. Thank you, and join us again on the next episode for another dose of Heartbreak to Happiness.